Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 7 at home against Jacksonville State. Our coverage beginning at 6. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and 93.3ClassicHits.com. Chase McCabe here with you. Big Joe with the day off. And we'll return tomorrow. We say hello now to Chad Withrow of Outkick Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Chad, what's going on? How are you?
It's always great talking to the suit, Chase. So I appreciate you having me on, man. Happy to join you today on the show. Sad I can't talk with Big Joe, who's one of my favorites.
I know. He's got a couple of things that he had to do today, and so he had to miss. But before I get into some college stuff and the Vols with you, I've been asking the question for the first 30 minutes of the show. I've gotten a lot of response on it. Your evaluation of Ryan Tannehill through the first four games of the season. I know that New Orleans was obviously the clunker, and then they win big on Sunday, but how would you answer that?
Inconsistent, just like the rest of the Titans team. You mentioned it, Chase, but he was awful in week one against the Saints, and I think the biggest contributing factor to that one-point loss in week one. Week two, he was great. I thought that was the best version of Ryan Tannehill, really throughout his time in Nashville. That is the good version where he's hitting play action pass deep. He's got the short game working. He looks certain of himself in the pocket. And even though he was under duress in that game, I thought he looked a lot more sure of himself in that Chargers game. The next week, I mean, you can just chalk that up to Andre Dillard can't block anyone along with the rest of the offensive line. So I give him a bit of a pass, but he didn't do anything in that game to elevate the Titans either. So I'd give him a C+. For that Browns performance with the majority of the blame going to the offensive line. And I thought this past week was more of the good Ryan Tannehill at times. What wasn't great, wasn't as good as the Chargers game, I thought, but, you know, more of the good. But it really just mimics this Titans team. You know, I think I posted this, but it's just such a roller coaster ride through 4 weeks. They're 2-2, and it's been four very different performances so far for the Titans, which I guess we can probably expect more of. But you look at this division, Chase. I mean, it's a roller coaster ride for all four of these teams. I have no idea what to expect now in that AFC South where you've got 4-2-2 teams after 4 weeks. So it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be an up and down season, but expecting consistency from Ryan Tannehill or expecting consistency from this Titans team is probably fool's gold. I do wish that the defense can become a little bit more consistent. I thought that would be the one given for this team this season would be defensively, but we really haven't seen consistency there on that side of the ball either.
What's been kind of your thoughts on Tim Kelly and his play calling through the first four games?
Same thing. I mean, I thought week two and week four, it was great. When the Titans are home and they're pulling out all the stops and you've got Mike Vrabel in what feels like sort of a back against the wall game where not a lot of people think they're going to win, they're at their best. I mean, Derrick Henry had one more passing touchdown than Joe Burrow on Sunday. That tells me all I need to know about the play calling for Tim Kelly in that game. It was terrific. It was terrific against the Chargers. I wish they could get a little bit more of that going. I thought the two play calls against New Orleans were great and set up for touchdowns, and it was bad throws from Ryan Tannehill in that one. But, look, so far, so good, I think, for Tim Kelly. It has been inconsistent just like the rest of the team, but I think far better than what we saw from Todd Downing. So I'm giving him high marks so far, especially this past week.
Talking with Chad Withrow from Outkick, now shifting into the college game. Vols off this week. They get revenge, if you want to call it that, against South Carolina, 41-20. But they're still ranked 22nd in the country, according to the AP poll. And I think it has everything to do, and it should have everything to do, with that awful, awful loss to Florida, because we're just seeing that Florida is not a very good football team. So what, in your mind, does Tennessee need to do to maybe get a little respect back? Only having one loss.
They need to go out and beat A&M for starters coming off the bye week. They should have a chance to get healthier. I think the loss of Brew McCoy is going to hurt, but I think the way that offense is structured, Chase, and we've seen this a thousand times, they're going to have guys streaking wide open at some point in the game, regardless of who's playing receiver. So Joe Milton has got to get his game more finely tuned for that, and he's gotten a little bit better. Yeah, I mean, it's really for Tennessee just one awful quarter. I mean, they self-destructed in the second quarter against Florida. The rest of that game sort of played out the way I thought it might. You know, when Tennessee takes that 7-0 lead in the second half, they win that half. and not overwhelmingly, but the defense shut down Graham Mertz in Florida in the second half. It was one bad quarter, and you look at Florida, you're right, they look terrible right now. I think to win that respect back, and I don't know that they're going to do that this year, they need to go on the road and win a game. And they need to win a big game on the road, whether that be Alabama, Kentucky, whoever. That's where Tennessee has sort of been lacking. They were able to beat LSU at 11 a.m. because they got off to that enormous start in that game a year ago. That was a big road win. They've won some games away from Neyland Stadium. They beat Clemson in the Orange Bowl. They beat a really bad Virginia team at Nissan Stadium, but that was virtually a home game. They've won 13 straight games at Neyland Stadium. That's the most since 1996 through 2000, where they won 23 straight games. Josh Heupel's taking care of business at home. I think Tennessee is going to continue to play well there. Chase, I want to see them go on the road and look like that team again. Cooper Mays back is going to help. That was a huge loss in the Florida game. You saw Ollie Lane self-destruct along with the rest of that offensive line. A big part of Tennessee's offense is the center. I think he's the second most important part of the offense behind Joe Milton at quarterback. So getting him back is going to help on the road. But Tennessee needs to continue to take care of business at home and find some of that same magic and get some of that rhythm going offensively on the road at some point this season if they truly want to get full respect back. I still see this as kind of a bridge year for Tennessee, this one year with Milton, before they hand the keys over to Nico Iamaleava next year. But it's a pretty good bridge year. They still got a chance at 9-3. You know, I think that's realistic for Tennessee right now. And I think Tennessee fans should probably be pretty happy with that, considering where this program was when Josh Heupel took over.
Yeah, for sure. And look, they have a lot of options when it comes to the offense. I mean, obviously, you know, Squirrel White, Ramel Keaton. But how big of a loss is it to have Brew McCoy go off with that awful injury that we saw Saturday?
Yeah, he was their alpha at receiver. I mean, they would even use him at times as a lead blocker.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of times that little quick screen is just an extension of Tennessee's run game. They'd throw it out to Squirrel White, and Brew McCoy looked like a fullback in front of him. That's how physical he was, and he brought that physicality to the position and could make the tough contested catches. No one bigger than that one last year at the end of the Alabama game to set up the game-winning field goal. It's a huge loss for Tennessee. There's no way around it. Caleb Webb, Chaz Nimrod, terrible name, by the way. Both those guys need to step up and step into that role and do more. Squirrel White, Ramel Keaton, they're going to be called upon more. I think Tennessee's really got something with McCallum Castles and Jacob Warren at tight end. Probably need to utilize them a little bit more in the passing game. It's just going to take other guys to step up. I think Brew McCoy was also one of the leaders in the locker room. So hopefully he can, you know, he's had the surgery, had it on Sunday. He can get back around the team and continue to help them and lead in the locker room. But from all accounts, great kid. And I know people who know him well, great family, and hard worker, tough guy. So it's going to be a loss, not just the Tennessee offense and wide receiver room, but to the entire team. But it's also an opportunity for a guy like a Caleb Webb, let's say, to step up and really show himself this season.
Talking with Chad Withrow. Now, I'm kind of starting to think that Georgia might have a loss somewhere because of how they played against South Carolina, what we saw against Auburn on the Plains this week. I mean, that was a fun game to watch. Now they got to play Kentucky. Yes, it's in Athens. But do you feel like there could be a team on this schedule that could get them?
I was reading something this morning that was comparing this year's Georgia team to last year's TCU team as the team that just has the mental toughness to win close games. And in reading that, I went and looked up Georgia's roster star-wise versus TCU's roster. I think TCU had something like 11 four-star players, no five-star. The rest were three or two-star last year. Georgia's roster currently, Chase, consists of 16 five-star players and 52 four-star players on the roster. Right. This is not TCU. This is not some, you know, up-and-coming type team. They still have all of the talent in the world. And I'm not overstating that. They have all the talent in the world. They are loaded with NFL talent. Now, are they the same as last year? No. And I think the biggest loss is Stetson Bennett because he was their gamer. He was their guy that could really get things going for them. I don't think Carson Beck is that guy. It does look like they may get a loss at some point, but, I mean, if we're just circling dates on the calendar, where that could happen, the most likely culprit would be in Neyland Stadium in November, the second to last week of the season. Does Tennessee have what it takes to score on that defense enough to win? They didn't a year ago with Hendon Hooker. I know this defense isn't quite the same, but it's still really, really good for Georgia. So I'm not sure that happens. I think there's a scenario where they've already looked underwhelming compared to a year ago. They could look underwhelming based on the last two national championship teams and still go undefeated because the schedule they have in front of them. And their biggest test may be a resurgent Alabama team in the SEC championship game. I think they're now the best team in the SEC West. So we'll have to wait and see. But when you look at the roster and the talent and the 5- and 4-star blue chip talent that they have, it's still pretty remarkable. And I think they've got an absolute difference maker in Brock Bowers at tight end, and they use him a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and you mentioned Alabama. They play Texas A&M this week before A&M has to take on Tennessee. Do you think we'll see Jimbo and Saban go at it at some point in the game? Obviously, no love lost there, but this is a very intriguing matchup.
Yeah, it really is. I think Tennessee fans are probably hopeful that A&M, not any huge injuries, but gets banged up a bit in this game against Alabama, where Tennessee's got a bye week this week before they host the Aggies. Texas A&M's another team that they've got talent up and down the roster. They had one bad half. It's a little bit like Tennessee, honestly. Tennessee had the awful second quarter that doomed them in Gainesville, and A&M had a horrible second half that was riddled with turnovers against Miami. And outside of that, they've been really solid. I think Tennessee's kind of the same way. They've been pretty solid outside of that one quarter at Florida. A&M's very talented, especially along the defensive line. I think they're going to give Alabama a lot of problems. I think they're the type of team built to contain the rushing attack for Alabama, which is going to make it harder on Jalen Milroe. They can also get after him when they decide to pass. Alabama now clearly has an identity of what they want to do. And Bobby Petrino is an expert at figuring that out. He can figure out whatever the roster is. He's one of the great offensive coordinators that you can hand him a deck of cards and say, look, here are the cards that you've been dealt. Deal with it. Make the most out of it. And he can figure things out pretty quickly. I think that A&M is starting to do that offensively a little bit. Can they get it moving enough against Alabama's defense, to me, is the question. But Bobby Petrino is the guy that can make it happen. So I'm looking forward to this game. There's blue chip prospects across the board. And you know about the bad blood between Saban and Jimbo Fisher. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for this one to kick off on Saturday.
Yeah, I am the same way. Chad, appreciate it as always. Good to talk to you, and we will definitely do this again down the road.
Always fun, Chase. Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely. Chad Withrow, you can hear him as a part of Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan, and does great work with Outkick. Coming up next, I asked Chad if he thought that Georgia may have a loss, because I'm starting to lean that way, and I agree with something he said. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, no Big Joe today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.